Each, the president traveled to Atlanta to watch the college football playoff national championship game. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-361-4221. That's 800-361-4221. 800-361-4221. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
A former Arizona sheriff is running for the Senate. USA's Chris Barnes has more.
85-year-old former Maricopa County, Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who gained and embraced the nickname America's Toughest Sheriff, says in a tweet that's linked to his official campaign website he is going to run for the Senate to give President Trump his unwavering support. The president did pardon Arpaio last year. He had been convicted of contempt of court in a racial profiling case. Arpaio went on to lose his bid for a seventh term as sheriff in November. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attacks by more than a dozen combat drones on Russian bases in Syria have been defeated. And though it's pulling troops from Syria, the Kremlin said enough soldiers are being left behind to guard against any more. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said Saturday's attacks thwarted 13 drones, with 7 shot down and 6 forced to land. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root with a confession to make. I wear my blue blocker sunglasses everywhere. How good are blue blockers? First, America's astronauts using the same formula wore them in outer space. And over 20 million pairs have been sold throughout the world. 20 million! Blue blockers provide the best eye protection you can own. And you can't even break the lens with a hammer. So call toll-free and order one pair for $29.95 or two pairs for $39.95 plus postage. Just call toll-free 800-722-7777. That's 800-722-7777. 800-722-7777.
WalletHub.com released its list of the best and worst places to raise a family. With a look at that report, here's USA's Tom Henchy.
Joe Gonzalez explained what families should consider when choosing a place to set down roots.
One, overall affordability. And that, of course, looks not only at property taxes, but essentially housing affordability, what the bang is for your buck. Also, of course, education and child care, which vastly different from state to state. And then health and safety as well, of course, what every parent is concerned about. But finally, we did add some family fun and family friendliness metrics in here. Things like playgrounds, attractions, and just the sheer number of families with young children within a state.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tom Hinchy.
The American Medical Association has just released a new report called The National Economic Impact of Physicians. John Clemens reports.
According to the report, patient care physicians nationwide have a big impact on the U.S. economy. I spoke to AMA President Dr. David Barb.
For every physician in practice, they support 17 jobs nationwide, 17 jobs for each physician in practice, both in their practices and those in downstream industries that, you know, support, you know, supplies and services to physician practices.
Physicians generate $2.3 trillion in economic output. I'm John Clemens.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
You're listening to WHCR DB. This is the voice of business here in Hunterdon County at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. This Hunterdon Internet Radio program is carried on every day of the week, and in the later hours of the late afternoon and evening, you can listen to programs on our archives. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. And by the way, it is Tuesday, January 9th, 2018. I can't believe how the time has gone. This is into my third year as a host in this program, and it seems as though I just started yesterday. I have a thing about helping small business owners be successful in achieving their goals for sustaining the business as well as achieving their financial goals as well. And business is changing at a really rapid pace. And the goal of this program, which is called Teachable Moments in Business, is really for the purpose of giving you input and ideas that you can take and use right away. It's not really from academia as much as it is from real-world experience and advice. Quite often we interview other business owners on this radio station. So in the event that you would like to do some brainstorming or present information about your business, perhaps share information on tips and successes that you've had in sustaining your business, I'd love to hear from you. I own Russmore Mentoring Group, and I'll give you my phone number. And if you'd like to be on the program, please let me know. The phone number that you can reach me by is 908-832-9544. And so our program is called Teachable Moments in Business, and I do have a Gmail account, teachablemomentsinbusiness@gmail.com. So I really hope that you'll enjoy listening to this program today, and if you have missed some previous events or shows, please go to the website, the Hunterdon Chamber Internet Radio Station, and you'll see archives for Teachable Moments in Business, and you'll hear all kinds of information. And I suggest that you have a pencil and paper handy when you're listening to this program, because sometimes we give websites, we give resources that are available to you. And in fact, there's more information and more resources out there than most people actually realize. So I'll be sharing some of that with you as well. But today we're going to talk about changes that are going on in business, especially in retail. And so I'm going to share with you some statistics and some tips, and let's see how we progress. I have a lot of information to share with you. But in the meantime, let's listen to a word from one of our sponsors. I'll share with you what's going on weather-wise, and then we'll get into some of the program.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for today. The good news is that it's gotten a lot warmer than it has been. I think this is the first day that we are actually experiencing above freezing temperatures. And right now it feels like, according to the thermometer and the weather report that I'm looking at, it's 43 degrees, which is pretty nice. And it's beautiful outside today, really nice weather, no precipitation. And we're looking at a day where there is abundant sunshine, and the temperature could go a little bit higher than 43, probably not, with winds northwest to 10 to 15 miles per hour. This evening, there will be a clear sky, low of about 17 degrees, and winds light and variable. So Central Jersey is in a great relief pattern right now, I'm happy to say. And I think based on what I've heard, it's going to continue through the end of the week, which is also good news. Now, as I mentioned, I wanted to talk about changes happening in business, in particular in retail. Change is the name of the game, so to speak, in the retail. It's rapid, relentless, and unforgiving. And change will not change. It's going to continue. So that makes change management another name for retail survival. And yet the only thing that people who are working in retail business seem to fear more than failure is change. In fact, judging from the choices made by the retail chains going bankrupt, the most hated retail companies, the worst retail employers, and retail brands with the worst reputation. Some retail organizations choose failure over change every day. So I have a couple quotes for you, then I'm going to go into some of the statistics for you. But there are quotes that I found on a website that are kind of neat. So our ability to adapt is amazing. Our ability to change isn't quite as spectacular. And that's from Elisa Lutz, and I have no idea who she is. Robert Gallagher made the comment, change is inevitable except from a vending machine. Washington Irving said, there is a certain relief in change, even though it be from bad to worse. As I have often found in traveling in a stagecoach, that it is often a comfort to shift one's position and be bruised in a new place. And that was from Washington Irving. Let's see what else I have in the way of some other quotes. People are very often open-minded about new things as long as they're exactly like the old ones. Oh, don't we know that? Here's one that we don't know who said it, but somebody said, give me the strength to change the things I can, the grace to accept the things I cannot, and a great big bag of money. Warren Buffett said, in a chronically leaking boat, energy devoted to changing vessels is more productive than energy devoted to patching leaks. And then one more. This is from Ken Hubbard. Don't knock the weather. 9/10 of the people wouldn't start a conversation if it didn't change once in a while. That's true. And here's one more. It's not necessary to change. Survival is not mandatory. So these are some thoughts for you on the subject of change. But I was reading an article that is really a huge concern, and this has to do with store closings at the retail level. And it was an article printed in Business Insider, written by Haley Peterson. And the title of this is "A Tsunami of Store Closings is About to Hit Us," or hit the U.S. And it's expected to eclipse the retail carnage of 2017. So here are some statistics. More than 12,000 stores are expected to close in 2018. That's 12,000, up from roughly 9,000 in 2017, according to Cushman and Wakefield. They manage properties. A rash of bankruptcy filings and announcements to close stores are expected at the start of the year when retailers are flush with cash from the holiday season. Among the companies most likely to file for bankruptcies within the next year are Sears, Bon-Ton Stores, BB Stores, I don't know about them, Destination Maternity Corp, and Stein Mart. And the closings would push hundreds of shopping malls to the brink of death. So retailers are bracing for a fresh wave of store closings in 2018 that is expected to eclipse this rash closings that rocked the industry last year. Landlords are panicking, and we've heard this on a number of new newscasts. The last year was pretty apocalyptic from a retail standpoint, and the macro issues haven't changed. There will continue to be a high degree of bankruptcy and store closings. And this is according to a company that's an advisory firm in retail. In 2017, there was a record year for both store closings and retail bankruptcies. Dozens of retailers, including Macy's, Sears, and JCPenney, shuttered an estimated 9,000 stores, far exceeding recessionary levels, and 50 chains filed for bankruptcy. You think about all the people that are losing their jobs, and that's a pretty scary thing. In fact, what I've seen in the past where people have lost their jobs, many of them decide that it's time to consider starting their own businesses. And by the way, I have to share with you the fact that those people often find a tremendous amount of help through the small business development centers that are located throughout the United States. There's actually at least 11,000 SBDC centers around the country. And here in New Jersey, I think there are 12 or 13 centers. But that's a place where people that would like to start a business, who have a passion about something that they really would like to do, and the situation has gotten to be where it's push comes to shove, and it's time to jump on that entrepreneur bandwagon. So the number of store closings in the U.S. is expected to jump at least 33% more than to more than 12,000 in this new year, 2018. And another 25 major retailers could file bankruptcy, according to estimates by the commercial real estate firm. So if you look at a chart, I mean, the increase in closings is astronomical. And in fact, it's the highest number of stores that may be closing compared to years back to 2007. Even in 2019, the number that are being projected as closing is just a little bit less than what we saw in 2017. So it's a pretty scary situation, frankly. Nearly two dozen major chains, including Walgreens, Gap, and Gymboree, have already announced plans to close more than 3,600 stores this year. Now, Walgreens did acquire, they've acquired some of the Rite Aid stores and some other chains, I know, in the New York area. So it could be that they're not they're not closing their own branded stores, but that they may be closing others that they may have acquired over the course of time in the recent past. Many more announcements on closures and bankruptcies are expected in the coming months. So the start of the year is a popular time to announce store closings and bankruptcies because retailers are typically flush with cash after the busy holiday season. And as I said, the most likely to file bankruptcy within the next year are, I'm going to repeat it again, because if you know people that are working for these companies, you may want to help them find jobs. And in some cases, some of these folks are going to have to go back to the drawing board. I can tell you that at Raritan Valley Community College, they have a workforce development building that's brand new, and they offer courses in vocational skills. And perhaps some of these people who are losing their jobs are going to have to go back to the drawing board and relearn some new skills that they can bring into the marketplace because of these changes. The retail's not going to come back. So once it's gone, it's gone. And, of course, we have the Internet to thank for this. Amazon is certainly a huge player in this. But we're seeing... I can tell you, I buy stuff on eBay that you could buy on Amazon. So it's it's just the business has changed, just changing so much, and you can't let it get you. You've got to step up and look around and look to see whether opportunities might arise. So we're going to take a break here, and then I'll be back for our next messages. We have some sponsors' messages that we need to listen to.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. This is Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. I'm here every Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I hope you'll listen to our programs. We'll be having some folks come here to be interviewed in the coming weeks, and so be sure you check in with us. So we're talking about mass store closings that will force shopping malls out of business, and I think we're already beginning to see some of the malls losing tenants, and it's pretty unfortunate, especially for the smaller stores, because they expect the anchor stores such as Macy's and JCPenney to really bring more people. They do a lot of advertising, and they are quite beneficial in their advertising to the smaller stores that maybe can't afford to do a lot of spend a lot of money on advertising. But there are roughly 310 of the nation's 1,300 shopping malls that are at high risk of losing an anchor tenant. So some of the stores I mentioned, Walgreens, there's another, in another report, closing 600 stores. There's a company called Ascena Retail Group, which is part of the Ann Taylor Loft and Dress Barn. They're talking about 500. Payless, 408. Rue 21, it would be 396 stores. Tivana, which is a division of Starbucks, 379. Gap, 200. Toys R Us, 200. The Children's Place, 144. Vitamin World, 124. Gymboree, mentioned that before, about 102 stores. Guess, 100. Charming Charlie, is 100 stores. Crocs, I didn't know they had their own stores, is 64. Vera Bradley has their own stores. They're talking about closing 50 of those. Michael Kors, 50. Kmart, 45 stores. Bon-Ton stores, which is an anchor store, 40. Sears, which is anchor, 18. J. Crew, 39 stores. Macy's, 30. Target, 12. And there's a business called Last Call by Neiman Marcus, 10 stores. So it's you're going to be seeing some very creative use of mall space, because obviously the landlords don't want to lose money. But the loss of even one anchor tenant can trigger a multi-decade downward spiral for mall owners. That's because the malls don't only lose the income and shopper traffic from the store's business. Such closings often trigger clauses that allow the remaining mall tenants to exercise their right to terminate their leases or to renegotiate the terms, typically with a period of lower rents until another retailer moves into that vacant anchor spot. That's good news for retailers looking to grow their physical assets. It means they are more likely to score low rent and favorable lease terms. But it's terrible news for retail landlords, some of whom are now trying to stop the bleeding by suing the companies that are closing stores. Wow. Now, Simon Property Group is one of the biggest mall operators in the U.S. They sued Starbucks, I guess it was last year, after the coffee chain said it planned to close all 379 stores in its Tivana chain, 77 of which are located in Simon Property Group malls. The mall owner demanded that Starbucks keep running the tea shops located in its malls, arguing in part that their closing would reduce traffic to surrounding stores. What's interesting, a judge ruled in Simon Property Group's favor in December and ordered Starbucks to keep operating Teavana stores in question. I thought that's kind of interesting that they're being forced to run a business that they want to close. Whole Foods was also recently sued for closing a Seattle area store, with the owners of the property fighting the company for breaking its long-term lease. A judge has since ordered Whole Foods to reopen the store, which the grocer had closed in October. As small operators become increasingly desperate to keep the lights on, many more retailers could find themselves in court fighting to shut down struggling stores. So not all retailers and shopping malls are doomed, however. To be sure, there are still hundreds of high-performing malls in the U.S. that are expected to remain immune from the fallout of shrinking retailers. Only the lowest performing malls, of which there are roughly 300, are in danger of going out of business. There are also plenty of retailers, mostly discounters, that are growing their physical assets while others shrink. So, for example, Dollar General, Dollar Tree, Little LIDL, Aldi, I've seen Aldi's around, Ross Stores, and TJ Maxx are planning to open hundreds of new stores next year, or I should say this year, 2018. Retail isn't going away, people just have to, a bit out of control of the volume of retailers and the number of stores. So it's a really interesting thing. I think you're going to start seeing some malls that are offering, classroom training, other businesses that are non-retail might be going into some of those spaces. I wouldn't be surprised if some of them might convert some of those spaces into actually hotel rooms and maybe micro hotels. That might be a possibility. So we're going to see change, but hopefully people can, the mall owners and the retailers can stabilize themselves in this period of change. But you also have to change to succeed, which is my next topic. And I wanted to share with you information that was featured in a Costco Connection magazine back in November. And the author goes on to say that by considering what to innovate, when to innovate, and how to successfully implement innovation, you can achieve the big wins of change. However, the complexities and questions of everyday business can make leaders averse to change, stuck in a balancing act of maintaining older systems and processes whilst superficially experimenting with new things. You might tell yourself it's an attempt to manage risk, but a lack of decisiveness can paralyze a business, leaving you with a slow incremental improvements that hardly seem worth the effort. So in order for success to continue, people do have to make some changes to succeed. You just cannot get stuck in the old paradigm for running your business. And more business owners are struggling with the question of innovation as the pace of change increases. Virtual reality, the internet, the 3D printing, robotics, drones, and more, all these technologies have potential to completely upend the game for many businesses. So how do you take advantage of the upside of innovation without getting lost? So the question then becomes, what are you going to innovate? When are you going to do it? And how are you going to do it? So I want to get into those topics, but first we're going to listen to a news break and some weather, and then we'll come back.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump was busy yesterday addressing the American Farm Bureau Federation's convention in Nashville.
We're streamlining regulations that have blocked cutting-edge biotechnology, setting free our farmers to innovate, thrive, and to grow. Oh, are you happy you voted for me?
He spoke about the GOP tax bill that was passed at the end of December and touched on how farmers would benefit from the changes to the estate tax and decreased regulations. He also spoke about the economy.
Economic growth has surged past 3%, something that wasn't supposed to happen for a long time. We're way ahead of schedule.
After the speech, the president traveled to Atlanta to watch the college football playoff national championship game. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Before there were superheroes, there was Samson. From the author of the New York Times bestseller Fireproof, Eric Wilson tells the tale of the original superhero with divine strength to free his people from the rule of an evil empire, but only if he keeps his childhood vow to resist his very own human desires. Chosen, betrayed, redeemed. Samson by Eric Wilson. Available where fine books are sold.
Attention shoppers, clean up on aisle 14. Clean up on aisle 14. Someone dropped a jar of pickles.
Beatboxing at a big box store. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
A red minivan has the lights on in the parking lot.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Geico.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. And right now it's sunny outside. The sky is clear. It's a great day, actually. But tonight we're looking at a low of about 17 degrees with light winds, and that will be somewhat variable. Now tomorrow we're looking at sunshine and some clouds with a high of 39 degrees, light winds again, and somewhat variable. And then Wednesday night, partly cloudy skies, areas of fog with some patchy drizzle, and a low of 29 degrees Fahrenheit. So it doesn't go down as low as it is tonight, actually. And then let's take a look at Thursday. Thursday, we're looking at partly to mostly cloudy, high of 48 degrees, winds light and variable. Thursday night, foggy with periods of rain after midnight with a low of 41 degrees, light winds and variable. Chance of rain is 100% on Thursday night, so I guess you need to have your umbrella with you. And then Friday it will be cloudy with periods of rain once again with a high near 57 degrees, wow, and winds south-southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour, and a chance of rain on Friday will be at about 90%. Same is true for Friday night. The temperature may go down to about 48. So we're really looking at warm weather for the rest of this week, and I'm not sure what's going to happen on Saturday. But, again, I think that maybe we may be seeing some rain, at least during the better part of the day. So that's your weather report. The weather's nice, and it's such a relief after having been in below-freezing weather for 2 weeks. It's kind of nice. So enjoy your day. And enjoy the next couple of days. So I've been talking about the fact that we have to make changes when business is changing. You just cannot stay with the old way of doing things. That's what puts you out of business. And, in fact, a friend of mine is Mike Michalowicz. He's written a number of books for business owners. His original book was called Toilet Paper Entrepreneur. So he was kind of known as a toilet paper entrepreneur for a while, but then I think he's kind of gotten out of that a bit, although this is the title of his first book. The second book was The Pumpkin Plan. The third book is called Profit First, which is a very good book for those of you who have a substantial business, and gives you some tips on how to tag the monies that you have come in and make sure they go into the right silos or buckets so you can pay your bills and also see that you have a profit that you're actually enjoying from the proceeds of the business. And the last one is called Surge. That one I think is interesting because it essentially suggests that you watch the marketplace and you look for those opportunities that you can ride. And he always uses analogies in his book. So the one analogy in the Surge book is that a surfer will go out into the ocean looking for just the right wave. And sometimes they'll let a bunch of waves go by because they feel they're not quite powerful enough. And then when they see what they consider to be the best wave, they get into what's called the pocket, which is the area of the wave that precedes the it's inside the wave, I believe, and they ride that pocket, and that takes them clear into shore and takes it gives them the longest ride. So you, as a business owner, you really have to pay attention to what's going on in business. You're looking at the fads, which you can't get into a fad unless it's short-lived and you get in and get out. But you're looking for the trends and keeping your ear to the ground. It's a good idea to be very proactive in your trade associations, and there's not an industry that doesn't have a trade association. There are many, many industries that put on conferences, trade events. They certainly put out newsletters, blogs, what have you. But pay attention to what's going on in the business. When I teach classes in marketing, I often suggest to my students that before they reach the intersection of change, kind of look around the corner to see what's coming down the pike so that you're better prepared for that change when it actually does occur. So in the article that I found on the Costco, it talks about, you know, what do you innovate, when do you do it, and how do you do it? And so more and more business owners are struggling with these questions. And so here are a couple points that you can consider. Most business owners think about how to make their current existence incrementally better, methodically understanding, altering, and testing potential innovation around certain business functions is certainly beneficial. But asking questions like, what if my business looked drastically different, and how could I better serve my customers, can lead to answers that take you outside the box with much greater and larger potential. Innovation can and should be purposeful, although sometimes it is a result of happy accidents. Team-building exercises, company events, and simply getting outside your own comfort zone can trigger ideas and conversations that lead to breakthroughs. And certainly those of you who have employees need to talk to them, because so often they're the front office people that know what's going on in business. Also, joining networking events. There are organizations that have brainstorming sessions. You could have a focus group, and this might help you to better understand the direction that the business needs to follow. It's important not to get caught up in the excitement of new ideas or lost in the potential of what could be. Innovation for the sake of innovation may have a short-term cool factor that quickly fades. So assessing a true cost-for-benefit model will yield answers in a sustainable way and improve your business for the long haul. Now, then the question is, when do you innovate? When do you do this? So a lot of thought has to go into what to innovate, and pay attention to the customers in particular. You can have a focus group with customers, and that might be a great thing to do for so many businesses, because we as business owners make assumptions about what customers like or dislike or what they need or want, when in fact we really haven't talked to them. And so you have to be driven, you have to be market driven by the needs of that marketplace, paying attention to the customers as well as what's going on out there with the competition too. The competitors, look, pay attention to the competitors. Maybe some of them are missing the boat. And so what do they lack in terms of power and services that you can provide? So when to innovate is important, nearly as important as to what to innovate. Change usually comes with a cost, but so does not changing. Sometimes business processes become so much better and faster than doing nothing costs more than making the change. So think credit cards, accounting software, or even mobile phones. Innovations that others are successful with can work for your business as well. So this is where, you know, paying attention to your competitors. In fact, if you were writing a business plan, and people should do that periodically or go back to the drawing board and review their business plans, typically you'll find as many as three competitors mentioned. And I wouldn't be I'm not afraid of competitors or having too many of them. I'm more concerned about what is the stage of life of a competitor, who is the owner, and how long has they been doing it. A competitor that's been around for a long time may be getting worn out, and in fact, if they are turning the business over to a family member, and sometimes second and third generation family members really do not run the business the way the father or the founder did, and the business may not do as well. I've seen that quite a lot. So not embracing certain innovations can leave much on the table. Ask yourself if the cost of the change, including time, expense, overhead, etc., outweighs the benefit. If it does, it's probably not the time for change. If you can see a financial return, appreciable time savings, or other benefit, the time is ripe to implement that change. The return on your investment varies by business and business size, but it isn't necessarily directly correlated to the profit. So when to innovate? What's the timing that you need to put into place? Another thing to consider would be how to innovate. And this is where it's no secret that diet and exercise will help you lose weight, but actually accomplishing that goal is hard. Innovation and change operate in much the same way. Knowing what needs to be done and actually doing it are two separate functions. The key to get started is to consider that it's all too easy to sit back and fall into paralysis by analysis, overanalyzing each and every component until not much advances at all. Analysis must be conducted, but it should be commensurate with the business risk. Deadlines are an important part of moving forward. Setting a reasonable go or no-go time frame helps to move along analysis and decision-making. And sticking to goals and actions empowers the business leaders to be more decisive and avoid the quagmire of second-guessing past decisions. Above all, a culture that fosters change and supports failure and accepts mistakes is a foundational key to innovation. Now, the owner or CEO and the executive team of any size company can set the tone for what is expected and often provide the support for innovation or the lack thereof. Creating an environment where challenging the status quo is accepted and encouraged lets innovation take hold. Innovation isn't a silver bullet for business issues. The day-to-day blocking and tackling needs to be grounded in solid fundamentals. Moving forward with an eye toward driving an innovation when, where, and how to choose will ultimately lead you to confidently create the future of your business. So here's some thoughts. You know, if you're in retail and you're in a mall or you're in a neighborhood where some of the stores are going away, what are you going to do? Are you going to fold your tent? Are you going to be innovative? Keep in mind, too, that consider the kind of customers that you're catering to. If you're catering to some younger folks like the millennials or the I generation, which are they're the folks that are perhaps in high school or in college right now, if you're catering to some of them, they like to go to stores. So consider what you can do to make that a wonderful buying experience when they walk in the door. And what can you do to grab their attention so that they do indeed walk in the door? So these are things you need to think about today. It's actually not easy. I have some other information here about your employees, because your employees are so critical in helping a business sustain itself. And so you have to ask yourself, are your employees awesome? Are they being recognized for being awesome? And when times are challenging or when major changes are happening to your organization, it's especially important to recognize employees when they rise above the challenges and produce quality work. So think about them. How are they being treated? Are you recruiting, first of all? Recruit for personality and then train for skills. But to keep employees challenged and productive in their roles, nearly 70% of people in a survey had a bonus system in place. So other approaches to motivate employees include training and development, and people are turned on by that, especially certain generations. I consider that people want to be trained. I think the younger people like to be in a training program where they can manage their own training. If they're older, if they're boomers, they probably like to be attending classes they appreciate that kind of attention. So, and then perhaps there are some people that work in a business that need to be helped along the career planning in that position and in that company. But certainly in surveys, it has been found that 90% of participants found that staff performance was linked to a reward. So you have to figure out what the reward is. An older person, a boomer, might appreciate attending classes. They might like to have the best parking spot in the parking lot next to the door. The younger generations might like to have flexible hours. But if they're happy campers because you've acknowledged what's important to them and what's motivating, that will reflect very well in the attitude of your customers. A staff member who's not a happy camper is going to produce customers that are not happy campers either. So all of this comes from the top management. So figure out the generations that your employees fall into. Survey them to find out what's important to them. In fact, I've taught classes on this topic, and there's an awful lot written. You can do a Google search and in order to find out what's important to the different generations so that you build a program that's appropriate for them. So we're just getting into this discussion about employees being an asset to the business and how to treat them, but we want to move on to get some words from our sponsors, and I will be back.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. This is Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. We've been talking about the concerns about retail stores going away and malls are being affected by that. If you have employees, though, they can play a major role in keeping a business afloat. And keep in mind that your employees are ambassadors for your business. In fact, I'm always amazed when I speak to business owners that have employees that don't give those people business cards. You know, when they're not working for you, they're living their life, and they have a life outside the walls of that business. And when somebody says to them, "What do you do for a living?" they should be able to hand those that person a business card and say, "Oh, this is where I work." And by the way, on the back side of the business card is a coupon. If you come into the store, we'll give you a special gift. And if that takes place, you as the business owner would be able to reward the employee for bringing someone to the business. And it could be a special gift. It could be a coupon. It could be a McDonald's coupon, for that matter. Whatever it is, what can you do to make them feel good about the referral? So with all this being said, it's clear that employee recognition does indeed matter. But when major bonuses, training, or promotions aren't available, there are subtle, less budget-tightening ways to recognize your employees for their effort. You don't need to hold an awards ceremony, but there are a few ways to uniquely recognize your employees. So, for example, here we go. Training development were also mentioned, but also what about picking up the tab for an employee's education? There may be a way that you can support them in doing that. In fact, there is a commercial on television right now, and I don't know whether it might be McDonald's, but there, the advertisement shows an employee being receiving money for their education and announcing it to the other employees, which is very nice. But simply sending them to a short one-day conference locally is a mutually beneficial way to let your employee know that you are pleased with the work that they're doing and want to see them continually improve. And I've been teaching at Raritan College for the SBDC for many years. I've also taught at other SBDC centers around the state. I am amazed at the fact that companies do not send their employees for classes. I'm just amazed. What about the owner going with the employees to take a course? It could be selling skills. It could be marketing. Because today, regardless of the job that you have in a business, everybody's a marketer and everybody's a salesperson. What about networking skills? There are so many networking events out there through the Chamber of Commerce, the Hunterdon Chamber, as well as many other places that you can network. Why not have the staff spend time going to those events to let the other attendees know about the business? The employee will then know that their personal development is valued by their company. Examples could be a local advocacy event, a short seminar on skills like photography, or some other networking event. I mean, there's just so many places. In fact, there's a website called Meetup, and if you go to Meetup, you can see the organizations that are holding events, and maybe certain organizations have speakers whose message would be valuable to the business. The owner can't do it all, and if you have employees, take advantage of them. Give them a time out to do these events. It would make them really feel good. You can do recognition for employees that puts in many extra hours, and they don't expect anything in return, but perhaps arrange a dinner for them, and they can take a significant other or a friend to a restaurant, or perhaps get them tickets for an upcoming leisure event. Maybe a concert or a sports event. But imagine how surprised that employee would be if they're given an opportunity to attend an event that they had no idea about. So what can you do to make them feel really good? Of course, verbal recognition is also important. You can recognize somebody at a meeting or a company get-together, and that can make a big difference. Everyone wants to know that their work is appreciated and valued, and simply saying their name and what they've been and how they've been a big help can make all the difference in continuing the performance that they've already exhibited. And then there are some people that are quiet about giving recognition. Sometimes a one-on-one quiet recognition can be just as effective. On a quarterly basis, leaders may nominate employees who have gone above and beyond what is expected of them and exhibit outstanding pride for the company. From these nominations, leaders of a business can determine the employees that they want to recognize each quarter. Their manager could personally reward that employee with a gift card, an extra day of paid off time. Think about it. What would be important? If they have young children, maybe a gift for the child, sending flowers to their home on a special for their birthday. These are things that are really nice. This can be done privately, however, but there has to be an unbiased view of those employees' work. Meanwhile, the employee that has awarded is left with the same quiet satisfaction of that recognition. So there are a ton of things that you can do to recognize employees. And if when they speak highly of a business, they feel good about it, that will do so much to keep that business up and running. You want them to speak highly of the business. I've been in stores where I could overhear people that were disgruntled talking about the business, and they're not happy campers. And I'll tell you, I don't feel like going back to those stores again. You don't want that to happen in your own business. So it's just really, really, really interesting when you consider all of this. So let's take a look at some of the quotes that I found. Again, I have a bunch more that I want to share with you right now. And some of these people that you whose quotes I have may be familiar to you. So let's see. Another quote is, "Don't knock the weather. 9/10 of people couldn't start a conversation if it didn't change." That's Ken Hubbard. I gave that to you already. Here we go. John Kenneth Galbraith. "Faced with the choice between changing one's mind and proving that there is no need to do so, almost everyone gets busy on the proof." Here's one from a John Simone. If you're in a bad situation, don't worry, it'll change. If you're in a good situation, don't worry, it'll change. Alfred Edward Perlman said, "After you've done a thing the same way for 2 years, look it over carefully. After 5 years, look at it with suspicion, and after 10 years, throw it away and start all over again." So people get so stuck on change, on the idea of change, that sometimes they can kind of wears out the business, I suppose you could say. Somebody said, "Changing is what people do when they have no options left." Let's not get to that point. Let's look for the options before the change becomes extremely important. Somebody also said, "If you do not change direction, you may end up where you are heading." Winston Churchill said, "There is nothing wrong with change if it is in the right direction." And Peter Senge, a name is familiar to me, he said, "People don't resist change, they resist being changed." Tony Robbins, we all know of him. By changing nothing, nothing changes. Another quote, "Slowness to change usually means fear of the new." And sometimes good things fall apart, so better things can fall together. As Marilyn Monroe said that. And then one last one, "The greatest danger in times of turbulence is not the turbulence. It is to act with yesterday's logic." And that was from Peter Drucker. Deepak Chopra, you know him. "All great changes are preceded by chaos." So if you are in retail, and you're concerned about the future of your business, it's time to make some changes now. Don't sit back and assume things are going to get better. They probably won't. And we're coming to the end of the program today. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, Teachable Moments of Business, and I hope you'll be here next Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And we'll have some other interesting topics that we can share with you. If you have questions, give me a call, 908-832-9544 or teachablemomentsinbusiness@gmail.com. Have a great afternoon. Take care now.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump was busy yesterday addressing the American Farm Bureau Federation's convention in Nashville.
We're streamlining regulations that have blocked cutting-edge biotechnology, setting free our farmers to innovate, thrive, and to grow. Oh, are you happy you voted for me?
He spoke about the GOP tax bill that was passed at the end of December and touched on how farmers would benefit from the changes to the estate tax and decreased regulations. He also spoke about the economy.
Economic.